Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Good to be here in the house of the Lord. And I know you guys wish you were here too. And I can't wait till the day we're able to come back. But I think next week, since the rules have kind of changed, it allows us to have church in different ways. And I know that we're limited to the church house as 10 at a time, but in the parking lot, we can have more. So next week, if it's all right with everybody, we're going to have church in the parking lot next week, and we'll just have drive-in church, and I'll preach from the back step, and we'll have music, and I think it'll be a good day, and we can kind of get close to visiting with each other, but yet keeping our distance. We can park, be in every other parking space, and we can just at least be together that way, and I think it'll be an exciting time. Hopefully it's not supposed to rain, we can just enjoy the day. I'm looking forward to that, and I hope you all are too. But we're just going to worship this morning, and I'm glad you all can be with us this morning.
hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone is solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm. I tell Lord, his heart still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, torn by the ones he came to save. On that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ,
I'll stand. Amen. Are you standing in the power of Christ this morning? Amen. I hope you are. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit's presence in our lives every day, Lord. I thank you for your death, but I thank you for your resurrection, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for that gives us that power, gives us that opportunity, Lord. You gave us that. Lord, you did that for us so that we could live eternally with you. Lord, be here with us this morning. Be wherever we're at this morning, in our homes or right here in this church, Lord. I praise you and thank you. Let your Holy Spirit be in control. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good to be spreading the good news about Jesus. And I tell you, I hope everybody's had a good week. I've had a good week this week. Had a beautiful day yesterday. Got to spend it with my beautiful wife. And that's always good. And she's got her video off, so you can't see her red face. But it was good to spend that time with her yesterday. We don't get to do that very often. It seems like we're always so busy. And sometimes we get so busy that we neglect each other. I know that through this time here, I've missed everyone. I have missed everyone so much because, I think that we're as much of an essential part of the community, an essential part of life, the church is. And I miss when we can't get together and gather together and just talk with each other and just share with each other. I just really miss that. But I'm glad you're able to meet this way. You know, I'm glad that we've had this opportunity as well. But last week, you know, ever since Easter, I've been kind of following along in the scripture of the events that took place right after, from the death and resurrection to the Emmaus Road. And then last week I talked about Peter, and this week I'm going to step back just a little bit in the scripture to talking about Thomas and in the scripture. And you know, we live in a society that likes to label people, and if someone makes a certain mistake in their lifetime, which we all make mistakes, but some of us make certain mistakes in our lifetime, and some, you know, we'll label them for the rest of their lives, even though that person is much different than one event that happened years ago. And labels are unfair, and because people grow and people change and people become something great even if they have had a flawed past. And, you know, of all people who have ever had a bad label, it is Thomas in the scripture. You know, he's not even called just Thomas. By most who refer to him, when we think of the story, he is called Doubting Thomas, and always called Doubting Thomas. You know, but the sad thing about this label is Thomas became a dynamite Christian, a missionary, and a martyr for Jesus. You know, and even evangelized the area that is called India today. And he lived on the top of a mountain praying over the cities. And one morning, a group of people grabbed him up and threw him off the cliff to his death. And so the label of Doubting Thomas just doesn't fit him anymore. It doesn't fill in the whole picture of who he was. You know, this is an encouragement, though, to anyone here today or listening this morning who has ever worn a label in their life. You can become something no matter what label someone tries to make you wear. And so my message this morning for you is this: stop the doubt and shout it out that Jesus is alive. Amen. You know, let's look at the scripture of John chapter 20 and 24 through 31. 24 through 31, if you have your Bibles. It says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your fingers here See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray again, Lord, be with me this morning as I preach your word, Lord. Be with every word spoken that it may fall on hearts. Open up their hearts, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit plant that seed in their heart of doubt, and there would be no doubt anymore, Lord. Let this be your Holy Spirit take complete control of me this morning, Lord. I praise you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the background here is simple. Thomas, Jesus showed up and Thomas wasn't there at the beginning. Jesus showed up and Thomas was there. And finally, whenever Jesus ever showed up again, Thomas was surely there. You know, this is the story of many things in our lives and many of us. And Jesus was showing up, but we weren't there. And then one day Jesus showed up and we were there, and praise God. And now every time Jesus shows up, we show up too because we want to be in his presence. And we are those blessed people who will never doubt Jesus again today. Amen. We see the story of one man who had a radical change because they stopped doubting and they saw Jesus. And today I hope many others will have this radical change because they are willing to stop doubting and see Jesus. And that's what Thomas wasn't doing. He wasn't seeing him. You know, I've got 3 points I want to share with you this morning. The first point is to stop doubting and stop retreating. Number two is stop doubting and start believing. And number three is stop doubting and start receiving. Now the first one, stop doubting and start retreating, is the Bible, you know, in verse 24 and 25, the Bible really doesn't explain to us where Thomas was, but it explains where he was. We see Jesus revealing himself to the disciples, and Thomas is off doing his own thing. He's absent. And most of us have a period in our life where we were missing in action and absent from Jesus. We know that Jesus appeared to over 500 people during this time, but we don't, you know, it wasn't till this moment that Jesus appeared to Thomas because Thomas wasn't there. And the first point I have today is to stop doubting and stop retreating in your faith. Don't give up every time something doesn't go the way you want it to go, or the way you had it planned. Today, it is easy to retreat. Many times we feel depressed and overwhelmed, and the first thought we have is to retreat. But Jesus says, stop being faithless and stop letting your mind and emotions dictate what direction you run. Thomas had a problem we all have. If we didn't experience it, if we can't explain it, then we don't believe it. And most of us have to admit we are so rational, so intellectual, that faith is a foreign word to our lives. And Thomas said, I will not believe your experience unless it becomes my experience. Man, the problem with retreating is we miss out on some of the best things that God has for us. When we don't gather with our believers, and I miss that so much, when we try to do things our own way, we miss what God has planned for us. And whenever we become isolated, when we go the way of independence, we end up on the island of doubt and despair. We start to doubt. Number two is stop doubting and start believing. Amen? You know, the next time Jesus shows up, Thomas is present this time. This is how many of us come in a relationship with Christ, and we don't, you know, we don't believe all the reports. See, Thomas was friends with all the disciples, and Jesus had appeared to over 500 people, so he had heard that Jesus was appearing. He even probably heard it from Peter and John and the women. He heard it from all of them, but he yet was doubting until he was experienced it. And so we find here, we don't believe in these reports, but we cannot deny the zeal and joy from those who reported that has been given. I mean, I remember when I was saved, I wanted to tell everybody, and I think it's like that for us. You know, there's people that come into the church yet, and they hear the experience that we have had. You know, I remember when I got saved, and I share that experience with many others, but those people still really don't believe in it. They know, they've heard of Jesus, they think he was real, but yet they don't believe in that experience because they haven't seen it or experienced it themselves. They just couldn't quite get it. I think Thomas was a lot like that. That is why Christians should always be joyous and zealous about the resurrected Jesus. He was resurrected in my life the day I got saved. Amen? The message may be rejected and scorned, but if we keep giving the good news, people will begin to show up just in case Jesus shows up. And he will, no matter where you're at. You know, in reading this story, the most amazing revelation Thomas received was probably not the touching of Jesus, but the telling of Jesus. You see, Jesus wasn't present in physical form when Thomas made his statements of doubt. But as soon as Jesus shows up, he reveals to Thomas, "I know what you have been saying. Jesus is in our lives even when we are living lives of doubt, fear, and unbelief." And some people say that, you know, that God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. But in all truth, he has to hear a sinner's prayer, or none of us would be saved today. Thomas, after today, he doesn't ever doubt again. And Jesus is saying this, "Thomas, after today, don't ever doubt me again." And Jesus said to Thomas again, "Thomas, be changed. Live a new life from here on." And I'm sure the millions who have come to know Christ through the region of India are glad that the doubter became a believer. And I am sure that Thomas was no longer the last to show up, but probably him and Peter were the first to show up. You see that this miracle of a new birth, your old labels are removed and you get a white robe and a new name and a new life in Christ. And today the greatest thing that can happen is for you to get a new life, because a life of doubt and fear and unbelief is a life of misery, a life of pain, and a life of disappointment. You know, as I think of Thomas as an older apostle being thrown down from the top of a mountain to his death, I can almost hear him singing "Before the Lands." It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. And one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Amen. Number three, the third point I have for you this morning is stop doubting and start receiving. In verse 29 and 31 talks about this. Thomas, it says, "You are blessed because you have received, but even more blessed are those who will never see, but they will believe." And that's where I'm at. You know, I've never seen Jesus physically, but I believe in him by faith. I believe that in his resurrection. I believe in his death. I believe he's the Messiah. I believe he's my healer. I believe he's my comforter. I believe he's my king. And I believe he's my Lord. And I believe that one day when I pass from this earth that I will see him in heaven and that he has a place prepared for me. Today, be blessed. You don't have to see it. You don't have to see Jesus calm the storms of Galilee. Just let him calm the storms of your broken heart. And you don't have to see the stone rolled away. You can let him remove the stones that are in your way. You don't have to see him ascend in all his glory. You can let him live in your heart and feel his glory every day. Amen. You know, I love what John writes here. He is an excitable writer. And because here at the end of the book, he declares, Jesus did a lot more than I could ever write. He did more for me in a moment, amen, than anyone else could do for me in a lifetime. If I wrote everything down, there wouldn't be enough libraries in the universe to hold all the records of how wonderful Jesus is to me. Amen. What a wonderful story here. But what is written is enough, is what I want to say this morning. That's what John was saying. But what is written is enough. There is enough gospel to save your soul. Maybe today you don't understand the entire Bible, and that's okay. But there is enough gospel to get you to heaven. You may not be theological, but you can be born again. It isn't given to the wise, to the strong, to the powerful, but to those who are poor in spirit shall receive the kingdom of God. And I want to close this morning with this. I'm so glad Thomas changed. And I like that a doubter can become a believer. And I like that someone who was missing was found. And I like that a disciple that only had a few verses in the Bible impacted the world called India and was a martyr for the Lord. And you can shake off the labels today. If you've been labeled with something, you can shake it off today. You can become a new person with a new life, and you can say, I will never doubt Jesus again. I want to read a story, and you may know this story, but there's a story about a man named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was a great baseball player in his time. He was a fighter, but he was also an alcoholic. When he gave his life to Christ, he had so many rough edges, he didn't seem that he would amount to much for God. When he brought the poor and homeless and hurting to the religious churches, they threw him out. But because Billy Sunday believed you could lose your labels, because he liked Thomas and what Thomas said, I will never doubt Jesus again. You know, he was the fastest runner in baseball of his time, and Billy determined to run faster for the Lord than he ever did on the diamond. And I'm sure when they announced Billy Sunday's name in heaven, they didn't announce him as Billy, the baseball player, but Billy as the blessed of God. And you can be announced that way too if today you say, I believe in Jesus. And I will never doubt Jesus again. So I want to say again to you this morning, stop the doubt and shout it out that Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you all could be here this morning. The girls are going to come and sing a song as we close. And right where you're at, I just want you to worship him as they sing. I want you to just close your eyes and just pour your hearts out to him and let him refill you. Let him rekindle that fire in your heart. Let him encourage you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And it comes straight from Jesus because Jesus said, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Amen.
Find me in the river.
Message of Jesus. Share him. Share the message of what your experience was in your life. The change that has been made. The labels that have been dropped. And start receiving him. And stop doubting. And just shout it out. Shout it out to the rooftops. And I'm telling you, you can change a community for Jesus. You can do that. He has chosen you for a special work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, I just ask for a special blessing upon everyone that's listening, Lord. Lord, just go to their households, touch their hearts, touch their lives, Lord, right now. Heal their families, Lord. Lord, I praise you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And as we come together again, Lord, let your Holy Spirit always be in control. Thank you, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. It's good to see you.